Yeah, it's moments like this where I feel like I need to give an explanation. The long-haired pirate you saw in the video was me, and we were advertising our VBS that's coming up in June that's going to be Pirates of the Caribbean connected to the story of the adventures of Jonah. And so there you go, free advertising before we actually start the advertisement. So that's what that was about. So a big thank you first to Terry Smith for turning that video around so quickly, to all of our organizers of our service projects. Thank you for helping make that day happen. Thank you to all of you who were able to participate or to give in some way to those projects. It was just a wonderful, wonderful day for us to be able to serve, to be servants, to be served by others. So many wonderful people coming up to us, blessing our lives yesterday, and the fellowship of the day serving together was wonderful as well. So thank you to everyone who was involved. We're going to wrap up our series today that we've been in for 8 weeks now, Name Above All, Valuing the Unique Names of God. On November 9th, 1989, the concrete wall that separated East and West Berlin was suddenly thrown open. Hundreds and hundreds of East Germans rushed to the western part of the city, creating a crazy and yet very jubilant chaos. At one border crossing, so many people crossed over an old bridge that it collapsed, and another one was hastily built to accommodate the crowds. When the Berlin Wall finally fell and it began to come down, peace by piece, section by section, the entire global community cheered. They took notice, and they were amazed at how suddenly freedom had come to this communist nation. And as you and I have read historical pieces from that time, and we look at pictures and we're reminded of what happened during that time, I believe that many of us naively, not right, wrong, or indifferent, just naively thought that this new freedom, we thought of it as something that had been accomplished the minute that that first section of the wall fell and that the old government was run out. We thought, they've got it. This is going to be great. We had little foresight for the painful process that lied ahead for Germany, for Russia, for other Eastern European countries as they struggled to adjust to the new freedom. As one commentator stated, he said, demolishing the physical wall was simple. Demolishing the wall in the minds of the people would take much longer. And I can only imagine that that same kind of struggle was prevalent for the Israelites as they too gained a certain kind of freedom from being held captive for hundreds of years in Egypt. And as they literally turned and looked back on the dry path that they had just crossed through the middle of the Red Sea, they witnessed the Egyptian army coming toward them, being engulfed, swallowed up by the waves of the sea as it crashed down on top of them, as Moses stood on top of a ledge, raising once again the staff of God. But these former slaves, they had some adjusting to do as well with this newfound freedom. They discovered that there were many internal and external enemies that they would face. Their first literal battle was against the Amalekites. And it was during this struggle that God revealed one of his unique names to his people. So if you have your Bible or Bible app, I'd invite you to join me in Exodus chapter 17. And as you make your way to this chapter, we're going to work our way through this unique story. Once you're there in Exodus 17, begin with me in verse 9. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow, I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. I just want to go, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute, Moses. What gives? You're going to send someone else to go to the front lines of the battle to do your dirty work, to lead your people? But you have to remember what happened the last time that he raised the staff of God. I promise you, Joshua remembered, and the people of God would remember as well, that the last time Moses raised the staff of God, the waters of the Red Sea parted, and crashed on top of their enemies. Continuing in verse 10, "So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword." Now skipping down to verse 15. "So Moses built an altar, and he called it, 'The Lord is my banner.' And he said, 'For my hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord.'" And so as we reflect on this story, maybe you know it was common for ancient armies to carry some type of flag or banner with them as a symbol of identification. In addition, a banner could serve as something that was a rallying point, something that could be seen from afar, and the army could rally to that banner at the end or in the middle or any time throughout a battle. So when Moses was holding up the staff of God, it was serving as a type of banner, appealing to God's power and to God's deliverance. And then after the battle had been won, Moses builds this altar and he names it Yahweh Nissi, "The Lord is my banner." Moses had created this memorial for God's people to remember the day that they had been delivered by the power and love of God that was over them. And as disciples of Jesus, we too face spiritual battles of various kinds, day in and day out. Some of us face foes or irritants that have intentions of harming us or even destroying God's plans and purposes for our lives. And whatever those battles are for you today that you're encountering, let me just ask you this question to really think about. What tangible difference does it make or would it make to know that our God, Yahweh Nissi, is your banner? He is our banner, our rallying point, that when things get tough, when things get hard, when things are great and we're celebrating together, He is our rallying point. He is our refuge where we gather together. And just as the Israelites were freed from their bondage in Egypt, and just as the Germans experienced newfound freedoms from their dividing wall in 1989, we too walk in freedom from the bondage of sin and death through the grace of Jesus Christ as we surrender our all to Him. And just as they experienced the growing pains of new freedom, we too will face painful and difficult temptations and trials as we journey toward Jesus in this life. Some of those toughest battles that we face are internal, right? Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. And those battles that we face rage within us. We struggle to overcome the dividing wall that we've constructed in our own minds, in our own hearts. We believe the lies of Satan. We embrace his false messages for us. That we're not good enough. That we will never be able to overcome obstacles of our past. He convinces us to believe that we are the past that we created. And instead of carrying high the banner of God's love and power, we choose to carry around false banners. I just want to give you a few examples of those. So some of you today are carrying around this banner. You carry it around high. Some of you even carry it around proud. Because you've believed for so long that this is true about yourself. You don't believe that you are worthy to belong. You don't believe that you are worthy of love. And yet somehow, by the grace of God, you have found yourself here this morning. And I would just ask you to lay this lie down. Lay it down. Another example that we believe is this. Some of you really believe this about yourself. Satan has convinced you to carry this around for far too long. You know what the difference between guilt and shame is? When you're guilty of something, when you feel guilt, you realize, I've made a mistake. I've made a mistake and I need to make it right. You know what shame is? I am a mistake. I am a mistake. How long have you believed this garbage? How long will you be able to hold your arms up as Moses did, holding up the true banner of God? How long will you be able to withstand the fatigue of holding up such a lie? I had a friend who carried this around for 50 years. 50 years he carried this. And when he finally laid it down, he said, Micah, I feel as free as I ever have been. There's one more example that I want to show you this morning. Many of you are carrying this around, and you're looking at my sign going, oh, that is awful. What's wrong with that? Yeah, this is yours. You've been carrying around this far too long. We're not perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. That's why Jesus had to come, to make us right, to give us a standard to look toward, to be perfect. And yes, he calls us to be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. And we should be striving for that. We should be becoming like Jesus more and more every day. But the fact is that you carry this around and you're trying to make everything and everyone else around you this too. And that's impossible. Lay it down. It's a lie. And that's just three examples of what we choose to carry around instead of the true banner of God. There's one other thing that we struggle with mightily this morning that I just want to shed light on. And as we walk in freedom with Jesus, some of the external spiritual battles that we face are not necessarily directed right at us, and yet they really are. We're witnesses from afar. We kind of stand away from the battle, kind of like Moses and Aaron and Hur, and we can kind of see the battle going on in front of us, and we see our brothers and sisters and friends and loved ones, and they're facing these spiritual battles, and we're trying to hold up the banner of God. We're trying to show them, come, rally around God. He is your power. He is your strength. And nothing seems to be changing, and some of these loved ones are our children or grandchildren. Day after day and month after month and year after year, you pray and you hold up high the banner of God, and yet nothing seems to be changing. Nothing seems to happen. Matter of fact, maybe you feel like it's gotten worse. And maybe you become so fatigued by what you have seen and what you have heard that you actually have stopped praying. But could I just encourage you to take courage today, because you are not alone. We all know someone who is struggling, and it may be us today. If you would just reach out for help, if you would just ask for help from someone in this church, and if you're new, I just want you to know that this is a safe place. You can trust the ministers and shepherds of this church. Come, let us serve you. Let us be a rallying point for you. There are those in this church family who will help you hold up your arms in the midst of the battle. I want you to remember this great truth from the prophet of Isaiah, such a beautiful reminder. He says, see, I will beckon to the Gentiles. I will lift up my banner to the peoples, and they will bring your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their shoulders. And then you will know that I am the Lord, and those who hope in me will not be disappointed. So don't be discouraged this morning. I know you've been praying for years. So have I. So have I. Stick with it. Rally around the one who gives us strength and power and purpose. Pray that Yahweh Nisi will unfold his banner for all to see, rescuing your friend, redeeming your neighbor, saving your loved one, and maybe it's you. Maybe it's you that needs rescuing by the God of the universe. I just beg you to surrender your all to him today. Because the whole story has not been written yet. Your friend, your loved one, their story is not finished. And their life can still be influenced by Yahweh Nisi through your prayers, through your influence, through your faith. They can be influenced to look toward the Lord who is our banner. Hold up high his banner as a rallying cry, as a place for all to find refuge. But you know, I have to believe that Moses experienced a similar type of pain and struggle as we've been describing. He was a type of spiritual parent to the children of Israel. They made him mad. They made him joyful. They made him proud sometimes. And sometimes he let them down. He loved his people. And I can only imagine how painful it was to witness as time and time again the people of God were short-sighted and they began to bicker against God. One of these occasions was after nearly 40 years of wandering in the desert. They're getting close to the end of the wilderness wanderings. It's on the heels of a mighty military victory. And they just kind of lose their minds. They began to bicker against God. Their rebellious complaints began to be exaggerated, as they were often. God hated them. Moses was a fool. And the food that God had given them tasted horrible. It was awful. And of course, my favorite, life would be so much better back in Egypt. Can we just go back? And imagining ourselves in the place of the Israelites isn't too difficult of a jump for us to make, right? We can sympathize a little bit as we kind of make fun of them. And yet, if we were in their shoes, how would we respond? So it's not too difficult for us to put ourselves, to sympathize a little bit with where they are, but not God. Not this time. He was not sympathetic. Instead, he sent a plague of deadly snakes upon them, and many people died. Terrified, the people began to repent. Repent of accusing God of deserting them. Repent of rejecting Moses as their leader. And they asked Moses, "Will you please go to God on our behalf? Plead with him to help us." And that's what he did. And so the Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. And anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." And so Moses made a bronze snake and he put it up on a pole. And then anyone who was bitten by a snake and looked at this bronze snake would live. Numbers 21, verses 8 and 9. This is a strange story, right? This is a strange story indeed. Stranger still is that the Hebrew word for pole in this text can also be translated banner. And so this bronze snake is like a banner that God has commanded Moses to lift up over the people, calling the people to come and look at this snake as a reminder and to receive healing for their faithlessness. I don't have a lot of explanation for why it went down that way. One thing I do know is that this powerful moment in time of the children of Israel would not soon be forgotten. As a matter of fact, Jesus chooses to single it out. Jesus brings it to light, and he captures the idea of what he's going to do to redeem the world. First, he brings it to light in the Gospel of John as he's secretively meeting and conversing with the Pharisee Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, Jesus reveals to Nicodemus some profound insights about his mission for the world and the inauguration of the kingdom of God. And I want you to listen to what Jesus tells Nicodemus. Listen to what he says. He says, You are Israel's teacher, and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we've seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And there is so much goodness in that verse. And we jumped to John 3:16 so fast that we miss it. We miss what Jesus tells Nicodemus before. Did you catch the history of all of this that is happening? I mean, there is a narrative of the people of God struggling, failing, and God rescuing them and delivering them. And Jesus says there's a time coming, as just as Moses lifted up that snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that all who look to him and come to him will have eternal life, not just healing of physical life, but eternal life. And so don't miss it. Receive this message loud and clear today. Yahweh Nisi, the Lord is our banner, made himself fully known when he willingly put himself on a cross that was lifted up. And so today, if you are searching for something new, if you are searching for something better, if you are searching for restoration and abundant life, eternal life, look no farther than the banner of the cross of Jesus. And all throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus was proclaiming this idea that his time had not yet come. My time has not come. He's referring to his death, his burial, his resurrection. The first of these is found in John chapter 2, verse 4, very early in the Gospel. And then the rest are scattered throughout the narrative until we arrive in John chapter 12. And it's here at the beginning of Jesus' Passion Week. He's just arrived in Jerusalem, his triumphal entry on a donkey. People are chanting, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." And that's when Jesus announces, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." He says, "Now my heart is troubled, and what will I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this very reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And then the voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." And I love this part, the crowd. I see them kind of looking around at each other. "Did you hear that? I think I heard something. Kind of sounded like thunder." The crowd that was there heard it, and they believed it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to them, and Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for the judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out, but I, when I am lifted up from this earth, will draw all men to myself." Do you see the image? Yahweh Nisi, in its full consummation, Jesus will be lifted up. He will be the rallying point. He will be the banner over all men to which they can come and find refuge and salvation for their souls. The cross of Jesus. Church, listen to me. Please listen to me and receive this well. The cross must become more to us than just some pretty jewelry that we wear. The cross must become more to us than some adornment that we put on our walls in our homes. The cross must become more to us than a tattoo that we choose to put on our body to remind us of Jesus. What Jesus did for us must become more to us than four little letters on a bracelet. The cross of Jesus is the ultimate banner of God that defies selfless sacrifice, radical love, and peaceable power. In Jesus' cross, the people of God have a banner around which we rally together and we find purpose and vision and meaning. You want a vision for our church? The vision of our church is to hold high the banner of the cross of Jesus Christ. That is our vision. How we carry that out can be up for debate through method and program and ministry, but we hold high the banner of Jesus Christ so that all men will rally to Him and find life. The cross has been and forever will be the ultimate banner of God. The ultimate banner of God, where all people can find forgiveness and restoration and reconciliation and joy and peace and love if they believe that the one who hung on that cross is indeed the Son of the living God. And we will face spiritual battles daily, every day. And when we do, we must remember to hold high the true banner, to put down these false images, to put down these idols, to put down these false banners, and hold up high the true banner of God, the cross of Jesus Christ, to hold up high the banner of God's powerful names, because listen to me, there is no name under heaven or on earth or under the earth in which we will find the true power and strength to overcome any temptation, any trial that comes our way. And so we hold up high this banner. The death, the burial, the resurrection, the exalted Christ today. And we beg you to come to Him. Would you follow Jesus today? If you need Him, please respond right now. Let's stand and sing together.
Jesus, Jesus, holy and anointed one, Jesus, 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 risen and exalted one, Jesus, your name is like honey on my lips, your spirit.